And, of course, your phone calls. Boy, they're lining up. Stephen Quayle, our guest, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Stephen Quayle, our guest. We're going to take your phone calls. Stephen, the Black Ops program, who controls the weather manipulation? How do they get the money into it, and what kind of technology do they use?
Oh, boy, there's about, well, first of all, there's different groups. A black operation usually meant that the thing was secret and not well known, like, let's say, an official movement of a buildup of troops. But there are different groups. There are different factions. There are those that have sold out to the New World Order in the military. There are those in the military that still take their oath to defend the Constitution against all, you know, both domestic and foreign, mm-hmm. all enemies, domestic and foreign. So the point is that the money usually comes in through different, different offerings that they do. Now, I would say this, as you're aware, George, the intelligence agencies of the world run the drug trades of the world. And it's not lost on most people that were Vietnam vets when they would see Air America and saw the CIA. Obviously, you know, since we've been in Afghanistan, the opium and the poppies have
gone up.
So the point is, a lot of it is through clandestine, through drugs, and drugs are traded. And the point is that it's pretty much anything that's a black marketable or saleable is sold. That's how a lot of it. And by the way, though, in the good guys are always the ones that are having to come up with money by the grace of God. And it's amazing to me, and I've said this so many times on my show, if Americans only knew that they owe so much to so few who have given it all and do give it all, I said earlier, lay down their lives for all of us. The point is that they'd be astonished, and that they realize the war that's going on. Listen, this is not a united country by any means anymore. It's divided in all ways, and there are actually, when you and I hear of military accidents, believe me, there's more stories to that. The technology is 100 years in the future. A lot of it is what I would call ancient technology. For instance, interesting, the Tower of Babel. Most people think, oh, it's just a circular ziggurat in the plains of Shinar, i.e. Iraq. No, there's way more to it. There is so much more to it that there had to be divine intervention to keep rebellious angels and their offspring, i.e. the giants, from basically acquiring a form of technology. See, this is what people don't understand. Everybody thinks angels, especially at the holidays, look like these little fat cherubs, you know, that sit on mantelpieces with little angel wings and harps.
Yep.
That couldn't be further from the truth, you know? So the point is that once again, the reality of history is hijacked. So the technology is so advanced in so many areas, and that's the thing that, again, when we're talking about earthquake generation, I want people to know this, too. In my book, Weather Wars, and this is important for people to understand, when you can generate an earthquake or cause a volcano to go off, and everyone says, oh, that's just a random act of nature, it's automatically dismissed right off the top as, oh, none of that stuff's real. Well, there's always been volcanoes. Yeah, right, but they've never been set off, you know, in 60 seconds on a countdown timer. Kobe earthquake, totally different earthquake. You probably remember the story that the Kobe earthquake actually had blue lightning running across the ground, and people said, oh, that was just piezoelectric mm-hmm, current. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk to the Papua New Guinea people that went through their tsunami years back, and you and I talked about that, they said the sea literally caught fire. How does fire and water go together? So there's a lot of events that are taking place, but the technology with going into it is absolutely 100 years in advance. It's just like TR-3Bs, Tango Romeo 3 Bravos, the triangular-shaped UFOs that everybody sees.
Yeah, well, those, I'm pretty sure some of those are man-made,
those
right?
Those are man-made. Those are ours. But can you imagine something that can go around the world in a matter of minutes?
Are those ours? They can't be ours.
Yeah, minutes. So the point is that the technology, so when we're seeing the TR-3Bs, it's just like the B-2 bombers and the F-117, you know, people get glimpses of them and stuff. Now, that's that. Then let's just call it off-planet technology. The bottom line is I'm not so, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm not so sure that when the angels that fell, they lost their ability to go through space and time to a certain degree, that they had to resort to a technology. Because you can go into the Vedic texts of ancient Sanskrit and read about the Vimana flying. flying machines, and you can read about the actually nuclear wars that took place back there, and you can go find vitrified deserts to this day that are turned to glass, and there's no way to turn the deserts into glass except under a nuclear explosion. So, you know, I mean, is history new? I take the words of Solomon. There's nothing new under the sun. That which will be has already been, and that's so true. And so the technology that's out there, and I want to make this point clear. When you have this technology that no one has seen, it's been secret, then the guy that comes on the scene that can command that technology, he'll be worshipped as a god, won't he?
Well, he sure will. West of the Rockies, you're on with Stephen Quayle. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Sherry. I'm from Fremont, California.
Hi, Sherry. Go ahead.
I just want to let you know how much I appreciate your program. I've been listening for years. I got the quick name. I've been with the program for many years.
Okay,
I wanted to share with you, I'm a little bit nervous, so bear with me.
Sure.
Talking about how to communicate to people, what's helped me is we're supposed to have, like, the heart of a child. Like when we see homeless people, when we see, you know, I'm noticing everyone's angry, everyone's tight-fisted, everyone acts like they're not human anymore. And I've been known as Miss Doomsday Sayer by, you know, trying to share with people if they don't ask. But what's been working lately for me is when you come in contact with someone, it's like, do you know what time it is? I've had that to happen to me, and I wanted to ask Mr. Quayle this question.
All right, he's listening.
Okay, the question is I was selling at the market, and I helped someone. I took someone, say, something that they needed, and all of a sudden this person started giving me a revelation. This person I've never met before in my life, and they don't know me, and I don't know them, and I still don't know their name, and they told me that names weren't important. Would you say this would be from an angel?
Well, that's a tough call, Stephen.
I can't call that one, George. I don't know what she was told. And, you know, the bottom line is that all I can tell you is that I think people encounter angels, and I know people that have encountered angels, and most of the time they don't realize they're angels until after they've encountered them.
Okay. That's the best we can do on that one, Sherry. Thanks for calling. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George. Stephen, it's a pleasure to speak with both of you.
Thank you.
My name is Brian. I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I just wanted to comment about the deep, you know, the depopulation of the Earth, the way their plans are with whoever is, you know, the powers that be. There's been something I've noticed, you know, in the past few years, there's been a decrease in the amount of, you know, women allowed, you know, able to have children. Is something like this, I don't know if I think it would be due to some of the vaccinations or something that's, you know, could be, you know, controlled by these powers that be. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm absolutely convinced that's it. And if you notice, and seriously, not only women, it's not a women issue, it's a man issue. The sperm count in men has gone down dramatically. And I believe that's due to a lot of the chemicals that are introduced into the food. The water, you know, one of the most important things that people do not understand, I recommend everybody drinks filtered water only. I'm not saying bottled water. Bottled water that comes in plastic bottles should be filtered, too, because it has what are called xenoestrogens. Xenoestrogens attack the male sperm count. And the bottom line is that, I mean, that's a given. There are stories. You can type in to any Google search engine or any Yahoo, whoever you use, and it basically says that men's sperm count is diminishing dramatically. Saying all that, I believe that vaccinations, the idea to sterilize, it's easier to cut off a generation and not have to kill them all off if you keep them from reproducing.
You know, if we had to poll people, Stephen, I mean with like a Zogby poll, I wonder what those numbers would be when you talk about vaccinations. Would you not? Do you think they're putting something in there to get to us, chemtrails? I bet people would be astounded by the higher percents on that for people who would believe this.
Well, I think it's becoming more apparent that more and more people are believing it. Now, let's just say this. It's one thing when you get to voluntarily take a vaccination, but let's say this, George. Let's say the powers that be have generated biological weapons that they're going to loose, and in order to sell the public, a lot of people die. Then they say you've got to go down to your general vaccination point where all the tents, and by the way, the military is buying millions and millions of dollars worth of tents and trailers and everything else. The point is that what do people do? People see all the people dying around them. Again, it's the Hegelian dialectic, if you will, in the most contrived set of manners, or contrived manner set, and I think that it's really important for people to understand that if they can get a grasp on all this stuff, then they can make an intelligent decision. If someone puts a gun to my head, I've let myself down to get into that position, you know? I've made the statement. I have a son, George, that I love dearly. He's my eldest son.
And a daughter who's quite a singer.
And a daughter who's quite a singer. But my son received a vaccination and almost died from these 32 now.
Sorry to hear that.
And I got to tell you something. To this day, he suffers. And when you deal with anybody that's dealing with an autistic child, my son is an autistic. It's just that he had a fever for 107. And unless I literally threatened to throw the doctor up against a wall, he wouldn't lance the boil or the bubo that was on his leg. And to this day, every time I see my son, I think of that. God, I just thank the Lord for his mercy that he's still alive, but he almost died, okay? And when I see and hear the horror stories of vaccinations, when I hear Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and you listen to any of the brightest physicians worldwide saying vaccinations are death by lethal injection, I used this Mullins title, you know, I got to tell you something. It's one thing to say you won't take it. It's another thing to be forced to take it. And that's where people really... it pays them to know about this stuff and decide ahead of time how to deal with it.
All right, next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air with us with Stephen Quayle. Hi there.
Hi, I'm amazed that you were talking to Steve and are on this subject. I tried to call and talk to Linda Moulton Howell about something specific, and that's I have the same question for Stephen.
Okay, sir.
But first, may I say that I pray for both of you gentlemen, and I believe that you both have a special calling to give people, to stand on the watchtower and to talk to people about the truth and things that are happening in life. But what I'd like to know is the four-star general that you made reference to that gave you information about a gentleman. Was his name possibly Phil Schneider?
Well, first of all, Phil Schneider was not a four-star general.
But no, he was a geologist.
Right.
The late Phil Schneider.
The late Phil Schneider. By the way, George, I talked to Phil before he was murdered, and I talked to him about going on my show. That's when I just started in talk radio.
Okay.
And he said to me, he said these exact words, Steve, I'd love to come on with you, but he said, if I'm alive by Friday, I talked to him on Monday. Phil knew they were going to kill him. He went into great detail. And the details on YouTube and stuff. So what you read about Dulce, the underground base in New Mexico, is 100% true. And it's amazing that over the years of being on talk radio, just like George, so many people have called in from the military, from the intelligence community. I mean, it's a joke. They almost laugh at what they can get the general public to not believe in light of all the evidence of what's there. It's astonishing to me.
Well, I just hope that you gentlemen have the platform. I don't. I've got a national security clearance. I'm a contractor, and I don't need to say anything more than that. I'm a Vietnam veteran. And
God bless you, and thank you for your service to the country. I mean that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I was going to write you an email. I didn't know if you get an opportunity with all the mail and information that you get, if you ever read you get a chance to read all of them.
I tell you what, I try and read all my emails. And right now, just George, this you'd like to know, probably since we've been talking, I've got about 20 vets asking for the book, and I'm really blessed to be able to send those out. So, you know, the bottom line is that I do have, a special a place in my heart for vets. But let me share this. It's not just this star general, that star general. It's colonels. It's majors. It's people that have had higher security clearances than most people know that exist, you know. I once was, told by a snobbish FBI guy, he said, well, I have top secret security clearance. And I said, well, are you aware that that's like the low rung on the totem pole? And I asked him, I said, are you aware of any higher clearances? The point is, no, he didn't know they existed. So, what I'm saying is that one of the things that everybody's got to realize is security clearances are usually compartmentalized. One guy usually doesn't get to know at all. He only gets to know what he needs to know. You know, they do everything on a need-to-know
basis.
Well,
that's what the Germans used to do, too, right? They would just segment everything.
That's a good word, segmented intelligence. And again, the thing that I'm trying to get people to understand is this, is that you wouldn't have the argument for global warming unless that was the, I would say, the magician's right hand. When the argument for global warming is out there and everyone's trying to decide whether it's your SUV, your cow, or, you know, too much gas, the point is that they don't recognize that. If you remember years ago, George, it was global cooling, that we're going to have a new ice age, mm-hmm. you know? And the science wasn't there for that. I got an email from a really arrogant weatherman.
Meteorologist.
Nobody believes this stuff. And I challenged him. I said, I'll give you a free book. And he said, well, we're all around. All of us newsmen don't believe this stuff. And I said, well, then you're arguing with men who have multiple PhDs that are the who's who in climatology. And he said, nope, don't want to hear it. So I can't do anything about people that absolutely believe a lie, don't want any truth, and will do nothing to even get out of their box. If they're in a box, hey, package them up, wrap them, put them under the tree.
Absolutely. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're up with us. Hi there.
Good evening, George.
Hi.
And Steve. Steve, you probably recognize this voice. It's TJ near Albert Lea, Minnesota. I want to thank you for your book. It was so providential the other day. And the Christians that are out there that think only God can control the weather need to read that book. But I got a question for you. When is Steve Quayle and George Norrie going to have Hawk on with you? And who is the carpet writer, Steve? I say again, who is the carpet writer? Over.
Now, there's a code here, Steve. What's going on?
Well, Hawk, let me just tell you this. Hawk is probably the most informed individual. He's a guest host that fills in for me on Thursday.
Okay.
And amazingly well-connected, well-informed.
Do we know his real name, or do we not say?
Yeah, I do. But right. Basically, I got to tell you something. The amount of death threats against him are so great.
Really?
And let me share this. First-hand knowledge of real ones. Not, you know, just threats, but... So by my choice, by his choice, we keep his real identity quiet. But
I understand.
He is an interesting guy. You'd like to have him on because he absolutely has, I would say this, one of the best grasps of everything that's going on, how it all relates.
Where does he get this grasp?
He's connected in a way, and listen, probably one of the most amazing men I've ever met in the fact that he has followed this stuff. First of all, the guy's got almost a photographic memory. But again, it's not so much what a person knows, it's the people that they know can tell you the what. It's just like, George, you know this. You don't have to know everything because you got people that you can bring on that can tell you stuff that's interesting and inform you. Well, Hawk is my guest host, and he's just a voluminous amount of information. He's very well connected, and he's the one, by the way, that first started cataloging all the nuclear power plant anomalies. Now, when someone's draining power from nuclear power plants, they're directing that power to something for a purpose. And so, TJ, to answer your question, that would be up to George. And I'll let Hawk answer who the carpet writer is.
Interesting. SteveQuayle.com, that's his website, Weather Wars and Unnatural Disasters, his newest work. How many books does this make it for you, Steve?
I think this is the sixth one. There's one more coming out after this, and I said I'd never do another one, but it's going to be the second volume of Giants. What I'm waiting for, George, is some stuff that's been promised to me.
Okay.
I'm also waiting.
Evidence.
Just so people know, I'm waiting for the excavation of a rather interesting skeleton, 14 feet tall, the one that I told you that live DNA has been extracted from.
Pictures?
Yep. And in such a way that the people that try and kill everybody and take this stuff off, it's going to be done in such a way that it will hit the net almost simultaneously worldwide.
That sounds exciting. Steven, stay with us. We'll be back. We'll take final phone calls in just a moment with you on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Art Bell's going to sit in for me tomorrow. His guest is Michio Kaku, physicist. And we got Ian Punnett on Saturday, and I'll be with you on Sunday night, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let's go back to the phones. First time caller line, you're up.
Yes. I'm calling from Ohio.
Okay.
And I don't really want to give you my name, and you'll understand why when I tell you.
All right, you got a deal.
I'm a security officer, and the company I work for, we're contracted to Homeland Security. And we have to do these background checks every couple of years. And I don't mind doing them, except this one here that we're making us do now, they're wanting us to list how much your house is worth, how many vehicles you have and what they're worth, how much cash you have on hand, what you have in your savings account, what you have in your checking account. That's pretty invasive to me.
Sounds like they don't trust anybody.
Well, you know, your guest was talking earlier about how the government is going to want to start tracking people. And I guess we're the first ones.
What do you think of that, Stephen?
Well, again, I'm sorry, there was some distortion online. He works for a security company that's contracted Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, and they're asking him all kinds of things, all kinds of personal questions.
Well, first of all, again, that's the nature of the beast, and I use that word in the fullest biblical, horrible sense, okay? The thing is that as one intelligence officer, a double agent once told me, he says, we don't know everything, but we're working on it. So the thing is that ultimately, you know, you don't want to say more than you should. And I would just say this, there's going to come a time where people like the caller are going to have to decide, hey, you know, you don't need to tell them everything and you don't need to tell them. And I would say it's a matter of conscience, you know. But the point is, George, the invasiveness and the ability of them to even ask that should make everybody furious. By the way, Department of Homeland Security, I don't know if the caller knows this, but as a security officer, just has sent out some of the biggest purchase orders for ammunition in the history of the United States. And this isn't going to the military, and we're not talking about millions of rounds. We're talking about billions of rounds. Now, ask yourself a question. Who does Department of Homeland Security imagine having to deal with that kind of ammunition? It's a pretty sobering thought.
Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is this me?
Yeah, I don't know who me might be.
Oh, it's David from Toronto, Ontario.
Well, then that might be you, David.
Ah, my goodness. Okay. First off, with regard to what you just said, Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau of this country had a personal license number, and I was astounded to see it on television once, 666.
Oh.
I'm not kidding.
You would think he would get rid of that.
Well, if you knew anything about him, you'd know why he had it.
Well, I got to tell you something. I can't think of a better license for him than that.
You got it. Okay. Now, I was pretty young when I figured out this country is trying to feudalize all of us. And then later on, I was asked to look into energy, and I thought, good grief, we're going to run out of this stuff. So as the climate change thing came around, I started thinking, we need to save on what we burn to protect the climate, because even if it's not greenhouse gases are not totally responsible for the problem, if there's also solar super radiation, then even at a constant level of greenhouse gases, then those gases will capture the super radiation. But there's another reason for restraining our use for them, and that is because we're going to run out. It's a finite resource. And if that runs out, we've got no coking coal for steel, no fuel oil for smelting base metals, no natural gas for pelletizing iron ore and Portland cement. And then if we don't have metals, then we don't have what we need to go to try to find more fuel oil. The only substitute I can see is biomass, but from that we get no tar or asphalt, so where are we going to run our electric cars, guys? Just before, to give you a chance to answer that question, if you can, I would like to say that I'm a big fan of yours, George, but this is the first time when I have felt that you are a personal friend, and it's because of you and Steve. I'd like to add something, Hebrews 9 and 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And I will wait for your comment.
Well, okay, first of all, on the whole oil thing, anytime anyone has come up with alternative energy, and I am under the belief that there's massive, incredible energy and technology that's out there that could free men and women from the collective control of the globalists. Now, again, controlling energy is like controlling food. And isn't it interesting, George and caller, that now we're talking about having highways, they're going to be smart highways, and you're going to have to pay for where you drive and everything. I'm convinced that there's way more energy, and I know this, I'm a firmer believer in the Russian model that oil is continually being produced. I don't buy the standard model of how oil is formed in the earth. But I also know that there are oil wells capped in the United States, and I also know that there's a massive attempt to control us through oil. And isn't it amazing that when you see the hugest profits that have been made in the last 5 years, that you always see the oil companies up there? And isn't it amazing that the big oil companies are always the biggest donors to whatever political party is in office? So I've got to say this. I believe, and I'm sorry to have to say this, but people will be pushing the same carts that George talked about earlier on highways, because I think that we're going to see such a massive curtailment of transportation. You know, George Ure, the Webbots, Cliff at Half Past Human are talking about restrictions on travel, and that can either be by legislation, it can be by no oil, and I think this pipeline blowing up that just happened the other day, yesterday, is significant. I think the Venezuelan breakdown in relationship to the United States, we're going to be put into an oil squeeze, and it's going to literally bring this country to a stop. And if people think that's dire, then they'd better concern themselves with speaking up while they still have voice to try and make a difference. And by the way, people say to me all the time, George, you know, well, is there a political solution? My answer is not one at this point. And what I'm saying that is this, is that, again, you've got to realize that there's a war going on, and the only guy that could take us financially out of the mess we're in is the only guy that understands it, and that's Ron Paul. I mean, seriously, I've followed Ron Paul for 25 years, and if anybody understands the economics of what not to do and what we should do, it's him. But, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? The mainstream press is intentionally not allowing the people in America to have access to his ideas. And that just shows me it's more controlled, and it's why I call them the vomit brokers.
Back to the calls we go. Let's go next to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Mike in Florida.
Hey, Mike. Thank you for
calling. I have a question for the guest. The dollar concerns me. I've just sort of been looking at the computer, and I've checked it against these major world currencies. And not too long ago, I read an article that said that OPEC is considering changing, because typically oil has always been traded in U.S. dollars, and now OPEC is looking to change the standard so that the oil will probably be traded in euros, I guess, is the other major standard of currency. And then I read something that the Chinese are considering changing their reserve holdings from U.S. dollars to a currency that's better suited. Is the dollar going to collapse? I mean, is this intentional? Because the administration is sitting there watching the dollar tank, and they don't seem to be doing anything. And the president, oh, well, a falling dollar is good because it makes our goods cheaper for other people to buy, so it brings us more money. But then I'm thinking, wait a minute, it's tanking. It's going down. I mean, I'm looking at a dollar bill right now, and I wonder, is there ever going to come a day when this will be not even be worth the paper it's printed on if it's not already that
way? Probably sooner than later, Stephen.
Yeah, sooner. And the bottom line is that's what's happening right now. The euro hit $1.49. But the thing that people have got to understand is what's happening is all the U.S. dollars, which was the reserve currency of the world, which all oil was traded for, now even Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, not to mention Malaysia, Indonesia, Russia, China, Iraq, prior to the invasion, Iran, after the invasion of Iraq, everyone is talking about getting out of the dollar. And it's obviously common sense. If people don't realize why oil is $98 a barrel, $95 a barrel, it's because the United States dollar is on a collision course. And I'll tell you one thing that George Urie has posted on Urban Survival, George, that's astonishing, is they're picking up in model language that the dollar is going to zero, and that's when they bring on the Amero currency. What has to happen is, and that will be just transitional if we even are fortunate for that, and I don't want that. I tell people that the only thing that is going to be of value is something that's a physical commodity, and Russia has increased its foreign reserves to $446 billion, and I would not be surprised, and I'm the only guy that's saying this internationally or on talk radio, that the Russians could come out with a gold plus commodity backed currency, and with the strength of their currencies, if gold doubles, they have $1 trillion. And remember, the United States is about $59 trillion in debt, and they have $1 trillion in reserves. And the point is, they could back the ruble. And even today, Gazprom announced that they're no longer going to accept the dollar. They're going to go for a ruble or a basket of other currencies. So the American dollar is in a orchestrated free fall, and it is going to die, absolutely die. The Canadian loonie got, as you know, up to $1.08, $1.09 last week or the week before. So we're seeing all currencies in the world appreciating.
Here comes the Amero, Stephen.
You got it. And isn't it amazing? And the question I can't answer is, what will be the conversion rate? Will it be 10 to 1? In other words, you give 10 old dollars, the U.S. dollars, to get one new Amero. And then the question number two that's asked is, what will that do to all debt? Will our, if they go a 10 to 1, will our mortgages be undertaken, or excuse me, not undertaken, but discounted on the same basis? And my guess is no. So we're going to have a cataclysmic currency collapse, and that's why people had better be considering what will be used and what has been useful in history. I got news for you. The Chinese tried to float paper money. It didn't work. And I think that's the scary thing about Ron Paul. Ron Paul has always stood for constitutional integrity, constitutional money, and he understands the Constitution absolutely declares that all money in the United States should be gold or silver, and that's what scares the bankers, and that's what scares all the paid hacks who are running against him, even in the Republican Party or the Democrats. It's amazing, you know?
Back to the final calls. East of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
Great show, guys. You're really intelligent folks. Look, my query to you is, I know in the Bible there really wasn't much punctuation, you know, like we have today. And in Hebrew, some words can be interpreted like three different ways. In reference to giants, the very next line is mighty men of old. Is it possible that they're not really referring to size, but maybe the dinosaurs or just men that were very intelligent?
No, not at all. Even,
okay, I'll hang up and listen to you call. Okay, thank
sure
you.
Sure thing. Thanks.
Not at all. The point is that Og, king of Bashan, his bed was 18 feet long. Goliath and his four brothers, all 9 to 12 feet. Even the land of Bashan means the land of the giants. The historical skeletal remains, all of the historians that were writing 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago specifically mentioned their stature and their strength. And some of these guys, George, as I've said on your show before, could lift 6,000 pounds with one hand.
6,000 with one.
Yeah, so there's no, what the caller's trying to say, if that's a metaphor or euphemism, absolutely not. Giants means giants. And the point is that, you know, again, some people think, well, it was the sons of Seth that married the daughters of Cain. It has nothing to do with that. It's talking about the fallen angels, the sons of God. In the book of Job, it talks about the sons of God being in the presence of God, literally in heaven. That doesn't apply to earthly men until redemption. So the point is that, you know, if you look at the history of giants, look at the technology, look at the wisdom, and look at everything they left over, and a bunch of guys in secret controlling that technology and fighting and killing each other over that technology, you get a feel for what really goes on behind the scenes.
Let's go to first-time caller line. You're on with Stephen Quayle on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
My name is Jesus. I'm from California.
Hello, Jesus.
I just wanted to share a story about giants.
Okay.
This happened to my grandmother and one of my aunts. It happened late summer in a little village in Mexico. The state is Michoacan. So anyways, as you go out the town, there's no cactuses around, so, you know, you have to wander deeper into the wilderness. And I guess they stopped at a place that had a few cactuses there.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandmother, she was kind of tired going through all the rocks, so she decided to take a seat while her daughter got some cactuses. So as my aunt was picking some cactuses, she felt something grasp her waist, but she couldn't really let go. It was like forcing for her to sit down there. And it happened twice. After that, I guess they just left the cactuses there, the firewood.
Off they went.
Just made downtown like a good mile and a half or two, just running crazy. So the ironic thing is that a month later, after she told my grandfather, he went up there, and there was two guys that he knew buried out some giant bones. I guess the mandible was like 10 to 12 inches compared to one of the other man's, you know, face structure. So now my question is, how long has that been around, the giants? How far back does it date?
Well, it goes back to literally the creation, biblical creation, but even before that, you know, one of the things that most people find fascinating fascinating is that Manetho's Table of Kings in Egypt goes back 600,000-700,000 years. And, you know, again, people say, oh, they're just taking liberties or misplacing their decimal points. The thing that's fascinating is you cannot separate the history or prehistory from giants. They are almost equal to the dinosaurs in fascination. And I think that, you know, based on all the stuff we've talked about on Coast to Coast with George over the years, I'd say that based on what people are presented with and want to know, that it's there and it's fascinating because you just can't escape it. There's no place in the world that I have yet to find where it does not attribute some part of the culture, mores, or customs to the giants.
Okay, let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. You're up with us. Hi there. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi. This is David. I'm calling from California.
Hi, David. Only got about a minute left, so it's all yours.
Okay, really fast. Just historically, I know that any time any country's dollar is devaluated to nothing, there's been a change of government. And even Vicente Fox's book, he went ahead and talked about the formation of the Miro. Now, myself, my career's been washed out in Southern California. I've relocated to the Pacific Northwest. And I've even noticed in Bonner's Ferry that the National Guard Armory has been widened, as well as turnouts on the Highway 2 to Montana, which means that I know that there's a storm coming. Now, I myself have got myself dug in and self-sufficient with water sources, food, and everything else. But what can I do to stabilize in an environment which is definitely very forested? Is that something which our government will look to do and the people who are self-sufficient in the Pacific Northwest is burning us out, perhaps?
Well, absolutely, and let me just share this. With the unmanned aerial vehicles and everything else going on, it's kind of like somebody said, there's no place to run, no place to hide. In the natural, I believe that's true, but I believe, too, that, you know, the just shall live by faith, and it's not by doing everything you've done is really good, but I got to tell you, what you're going to need is that inward assurance of knowing that someone's stronger and someone looking out for your best interest, and I'm talking about the mercy of living God. And some people say, well, I don't want to talk about that. Well, I got news for you. You can talk to two people that were in the same foxhole, and one guy comes out alive and the other guy doesn't. And the one guy said, when that comes out, and I'm just using this as an example, you know, he realized that that's the wrong place to be an atheist is in the foxhole. That's the same wrong place to be an
so
atheist.
So true. Stephen, we're out of time. Website, give it out, please.
Steve Quayle, Quayle.com. And to order the book, George, because this is the only way people that are listening on shortwave and stuff can get it, 719-547-9100. 719-547-9100. An important book. And thank you so much, George.
Thank you, Stephen Quayle. For Wayne Roberts, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyons, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. For me, it'll be Sunday. Until then, be safe, everyone.